Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Eve. That makes it Thursday edition, right, Dom?
It is, Crudy. How you doing, buddy? Evan on the board, our fair audience. Great to be with you as always. We can make it to Friday. I'm so sure of it.
You know what? I'm a little aggrieved on behalf of our friends in labor time.
You got grievances already? It's only Thursday.
I know. It's a little too early for him, but. But I'm going to start right here, right now, with a grievance. First and foremost, it will not be the fact that we didn't book any guests today. We got some fine guests. We've got our pal Rick Smith. He is the host of the Rick Smith Show. He's going to join us very soon, about 4:30 Central Time. That'd be 5:30 Eastern. Also, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, the director of the Marquette University Law School polling outfit right here in the great state of Wisconsin, has some new national polling. They polled the heir apparent to Trump, right, Don? DeSantis, Trump. There's some good polling out. It'll be interesting. We'll get there. But where I want to start today, with the little grievance on behalf of working stiffs, men and women, in the railway industry. And nobody wants to hear about a railway strike before Christmas. You know, you talk about supply chains being disrupted, this would be right. Something of an issue, which is perhaps, you know, why it's coming to a head now. Because now labor might have some little schism of
leverage.
Leverage. Yes. Thank you. I was searching for a word. And of course, now they don't. Now they've been kneecapped in a bipartisan fashion by the U.S. Congress. And while I certainly didn't want to see a multi-billion dollar a day losing rail strike and, you know, snarl things and little Timmy doesn't get his Christmas turkey. I didn't want any of those things to happen, Dom. But ultimately, don't the working stiffs have the right to negotiate their labor? Apparently, they don't.
That's kind of the point of the union, right?
Used to be.
No, it is. It's a little discerning, and that's why we're bringing our labor buddy Rick Smith on at 4:30 to discuss it. So let's lay down some of the facts as we know them, as they are being reported right now at the Washington Post. The Senate on Thursday adopted a measure that forces a deal between warring national freight railroads and their unions, averting a potential December 9 strike that would have crippled U.S. travel and commerce ahead of the busy holiday shopping season. The overwhelmingly bipartisan 80-15 vote sends the measure to President Biden's desk as he requested earlier this week, though lawmakers were unable to provide rail workers with any of the paid sick leave benefits that union leaders vigorously sought in recent months. Under the agreement, rail workers are set to see a roughly 24% pay increase by 2024 while gaining more flexibility to take time off or doctor's appointments. The measure also grants them one paid personal day, though that does not include any new dedicated time off for illness. The deal mirrors the terms the White House brokered with railroads and union leaders this September, clinching what many at the time thought was an end of the standoff. Initially, 8 of the country's 12 rail unions approved the arrangement, hoping to avert a strike, but four other rail labor organizations opted in November to reject the proposal, opposition that constituted slightly more than half of all rail workers. The outcome landed the negotiations in the lap of Congress, where some Democrats and Republicans seemed reluctant to wade into the talks, but resigned to the reality that inaction could cripple the economy. In both the House and Senate, Democrats led last-minute efforts to add additional paid leave days to the deal, while Republicans tried to create a cooling off period that would have extended the discussions into next year, but both sides failed in their attempts to revise the original terms the White House had brokered. Suppliers and businesses across the nation are going to begin shutting down operations soon if they think a strike is imminent, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, a Democrat, warned Thursday morning as he set the chamber on its course to vote, warning that a shutdown means nobody wins and everybody loses. The result was a rare, swift, bipartisan outcome that marked the first time Congress has intervened in rail negotiations since 1992, invoking a nearly century-old law to successfully ward off a strike. Such a shutdown would have cost the economy $2 billion a day. The Senate vote following the House vote passage a day earlier quickly produced mixed visceral reaction among labor groups that had been split over the deal from the start. Here's a quote from Tom Modica, 36, a rail mechanic in Chicago. Here's what Tom said. "We carry the country on our backs, whether Congress realizes it or not. The fact that they are willing to force a contract down our throats to keep the railroads from shutting down means we're important. But they get 6 days, and we're out here in the snow all day, and we don't. It's pretty hypocritical."
Dominic, we've got some sound to offer as well, both from the current Speaker of the House. You know, till January, it's still Pelosi. Let's start with Pelosi, and then we'll get to Biden, because this had to be a legislative piece, and it had to have the will of the president as well. Let's start with Pelosi, though. Cut seven.
"We think they should have paid sick leave. And so that was never going to be happening in the negotiation. The railroads were just not going to that place."
Yeah, that's why they wanted to strike, Nancy.
Right. You shut down a $2 billion a day. All of a sudden, maybe they're a little more amiable to maybe providing a few paid sick days.
Let's go to cut number eight, Nancy Pelosi, rail strike.
"We stand firmly in support of paid sick leave. It's an outrageous that every developed country in the world has paid sick leave except the United States of America."
And as labor would try to carve it out for the rail industry, you kneecap them. That was my impression of what has happened this afternoon very rapidly, Dom. I've never seen Congress move like this. A little bit more, Pelosi. Cut nine.
"If we didn't take the action we did yesterday, 765,000, over 750,000 jobs would be lost, including union jobs, $2 billion a day."
And then they'd be rehired once the strike was resolved, probably at the terms labor were seeking.
Hence the strike. The leverage. That's the leverage. That's the point.
Pelosi, cut 10. House vote was necessary.
"It was something that was necessary, and the president asked us to do it."
So this came from Joe. Scranton Joe, Amtrak Joe, right? Rode the train every day. That's what they said.
Is he afraid? Can't stop the
trains. Can't get on the train? Can't stop the Mussolini say that?
Apparently, he kept him on time.
Let's jump down to President Joe Biden. Again, the topic, the rail strike, averted through a direct act of Congress, a bipartisan action, apparently at the bequest of President Joe Biden. Let's hear it from the president. Cut 15, please.
"I negotiated a contract no one else could negotiate. The only thing that was left out was whether or not it was paid leave. You know, I've been trying to get paid leave, not just for rail workers, for everybody."
Okay. More from Joe Biden. Cut 16, please.
"I think we're going to get it done, but not within this agreement."
Yeah, not if you kneecap the unions, Joe. Effectively, you made a command decision that the Congress was going to inject itself in the middle of this labor negotiation. And, you know, it was democracy. There were a majority of the union members that voted this was not acceptable. They weren't going back to work if they weren't going to be granted sick leave. You know, like the guys out there working in the snow with no sick leave, Joe. Let's keep playing the president. You know, he's not always my favorite president. Cut 17.
"We're one of the few major countries in the world that don't have it. It's about time."
Okay, and let's blame it on the Republicans now. Cut 18, please.
"You know, I've been trying to get paid leave, not just for rail workers, for everybody. But that other team, they called the Republicans, they voted against it. They said we couldn't do it."
Yeah, but this was a bipartisan act at your direction, Joe. Let's keep going before I show my true colors here. Cut number 18, pardon me, 19, I believe. Gonna go back? 19.
Avoid the rail strike, keep the rails running, keep things moving, and I'm gonna go back and we're gonna get paid leave, not just for rail workers, but for all workers.
And only he can fix it. Sounds a little Trumpian. Well,
I appreciate the efforts, Joe, but you're kind of going against what the whole concept of labor is for. And I get it. If there's a law back, you know, from whatever, and you can justify doing this action, let's just say it, though. You're doing it for business. You're doing it to keep the money rolling. But that's kind of, you know what, you want to get something for the entire people. You want paid sick leave, for example, for everybody in this country. Well, I don't know, maybe a work stoppage would do something like that. Maybe focus some people's attention on it. Like, hey, how much does it cost to give everybody sick leave in this country? And then figure out how much you're going to lose by a work stoppage. You know, that you're going to stop that too? I mean, come on. That is the entire point of using the leverage that you have as labor. The best thing you can do, the most leverage you have in labor is to withhold it. That's the point.
As long as you're not withholding labor during the course of the next, you know, 2 hours-ish. Yeah. There'll be no strikes here.
I have no reason to, Kurt. I'm quite happy with my employment situation. But some people aren't. And if you're not, and if you're in a union, I mean, this is what you vote for the Dems for, right? I'm not surprised the Republicans were on this. Of course they were. But I saw some weird things. Josh Hawley apparently said he wanted to see paid sick leave in. And I don't know if he really meant it or if he just wanted to throw a wrench into the negotiations. But to not have labor's back. Now, if Joel comes out, there's somehow, if they can get a national paid sick leave bill and it gets passed, then okay, maybe it'll blunt some of my criticism. But I don't see a path for that happening anytime soon, Joe or Nancy.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's Thursday, I'm like 98% sure. That makes
Pretty
it
sure.
Friday, Eve, but grievances, we're airing them on behalf of our working brothers and sisters out there. The rail strike averted. Santa Claus, you know, he's going to get paid. I mean, the merchandisers, right? That's really what it's about, moving the merchandise underneath the trees. And then eventually, like a week later, they all come back. Because all the kids hate the sweaters. They all do. Come back. More Devils.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from somewhere. And we can all look in a mirror and find some blame somewhere.
Okay, Boomer.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the 420 break, but you can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. Our pal Rick Smith going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Dominic, I got to tell a super quick story. Then we're going to the lines. Scott Walker, who apparently somehow finds his way almost every day on my Facebook stream, either posting some Bible verse or, as was the case the other day, and always some politics. It's Christy Noem's birthday, and then him and Christy Noem in the same picture. You know, he's so proud that he knows all the important people like Governor Christy Noem. But anyways, remember when we were back at the iHeart days, Dom, and Vicky McKenna was right down the hallway, the icky Vicky. She was a right-wing talk radio hostess. I listened to just a smidge of her today. Got to cleanse the palate. Got to like jam an ice pick in my ear. Anyways, Scott Walker was an in-studio guest right before the holidays, right before Christmas. And he was wearing like a Packer Letterman jacket, like he was a Packer player or something, got a letter. Anyways, it was sort of corny, but he brought her the pecans, his famous recipe. Must be grandma's or something, sort of a sugary coated pecan recipe. So anyways, he leaves, you know, kind of skittishly around me because we worked just down the hallway and he knew who we were. And Vicky comes up. Hey, Cody, you want these? Okay. So she hands me the Scott Walker gifted pecans. And my initial reaction was to walk into our studio and throw them away. But then I got them out. I'm thinking, no. There's a point to this. And so anyways, I tasted them. You know, these were nearly world famous, according to Wanker. He floated around giving them to right-wing talk radio hosts all around the state. And I tried them. And I got to tell you, Dom, after he posted the recipe the other night, I felt it necessary to let him know, A, Vicky didn't like your stinking sugar-coated pecans. She gave them to me. I tried them. They suck, sir. In fact, if I had to characterize the taste, it was sugar-coated desperation.
Sounds about right. I thought they were fine. It was a sugar-coated pecan, whatever.
Anyways, the union busting made me think of Scott Walker today. I just didn't expect it from the blue team.
A little bit more here before we get to the phones. 844-967-2789. Political reporting. Monday, of course, today, Biden endorsed moving the bill that would impose contract minus the sick days. He said it was in interest of avoiding the rail shutdown. It was a bitter pill to swallow, political rights for organized labor, a core Democratic constituency, but one Biden insisted was necessary. Two additional Senate votes, one to add paid sick leave and one to extend the period for which during which the unions can't strike by another 60 days, both failed. Though the sick leave bill garnered more yes votes than no votes, including from six Republicans, it still failed because it did not achieve the 60-vote threshold. I always knew you were a socialist, Senator Bernie Sanders joked to Senator Ted Cruz on the Senate floor after he voted in favor of the additional paid sick leave.
Yet they didn't have the steam to get it across the finish line.
Correct.
844-967-2789. Chris from Sun Prairie, a union-friendly lady herself. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Oh, my. I'm very upset. This is just, like, really got me. I'm just so upset. I really, this Biden just lost me, completely lost me on this one. This is like what Ronald Reagan did to Petco. I mean, I just can't even believe that they're doing this. I really can't. I can't think of anything worse that they could do, and I totally disagree with it. And I think there's other measures they could take. Before you ever go busting the union and getting in unions negotiations, maybe you should nationalize these railroads. You should do something else. If they're that important to the national interest, do something else. Don't go after the workers. The workers are being worked to the bone. These men are not, and women are not being given any days off for sick time at a time where, you know, we've had COVID. This is not okay. These workers deserve to have a bargaining right, and they do not, they're not being given a seat at the table. This is not even democratic. Very upset about this. We need to understand they're running the railroad through our towns. They're not getting adequate support. They're not getting adequate time off. They're not getting adequate benefits, pay. Everybody thinks these jobs are lucrative. They need to look at what has happened to them over the past, you know, decade or so.
Well, union busting certainly has undermined the working person's wage. And of course, when you cannot take collective action, if you can't do a labor strike to try and drive home your point, to try and win your little bit of leverage as labor, well, then you don't have any leverage. 844.
Well, I mean, you know, Warren Buffett is also one of the owners of those rail lines. And, you know, when a rich white guy is going to catch a break? 844-967-2789. Ron, you're up. Welcome. What do you got?
Hey. Well, Chris kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I agree with her that the way this should have been handled was the way they handled it in the West Wing. They get labor and the railways in a room, sit them down and say, you got till midnight to solve this. If you don't solve it by midnight, we're nationalizing the railways and drafting the workers into the military.
Ron, I feel like the president, I'm not defending Joe Biden or his actions in this case, but he was obviously intimately involved in the negotiations prior. They thought they had a deal. It was not adopted by the Democratic majority of the union members, although 8 of 12 unions did accept the terms. but that wasn't a majority of the members. And then the Democrats, along with colleagues across the aisle like Ted Cruz, went and chopped the unions off at the knees. And I think that is... Democrats wonder why they keep losing the white working class. And it's reasons like these. You know, NAFTA and chopping out the railway strike. The rest of us, though, Merry Christmas. You'll probably get your turkey. We got a fine guest. He is Rick Smith, host of the Rick Smith Show and a union guy himself. He joins us next.
The Pecan Sandies.
That's disgusting. Put it away, please. We don't do that here.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. A fine guest joining us right now, live via Zoom from Georgia. He is Rick Smith from the Rick Smith Show, a host. You can find him here right on the Civic Media Network. Tune him in 8 to 10 p.m. almost every night, unless you get preempted by a little, you know, basketball or something, Rick, a couple of markets, but... Every night, everywhere else, it's Rick Smith, the only guy I know who probably logged more miles than me this summer. Rick, how you doing, man?
Hey, Rick. I'm
doing great. Angry, very angry in this moment. I gotta start with anger.
Just react then, Rick. Tell us how you're feeling about congressional insertion, apparently at the directive of Joe Biden. I'm not happy about it. Dom doesn't seem too happy. How you feeling, Rick?
This was a moment for the talk to be the walk. This was a moment for Democrats to step forward and actually be the party of working people, and they failed us. Look, nobody wanted a strike. There was never going to be a strike, but the messaging that comes out of this, that we're going to run two separate bills, the one that ultimately passed and the one that was performative, was extremely predictable, and it's angering. This is the kind of stuff that I expect from Democrats when I say, look, I want a street fighter. I want somebody who's going to get in and fight for me and fight for working people. And here's another example of Democrats holding someone's coat when there's a fight. And I'm telling you, I'm ticked.
I don't want to pick out old scabs, but once upon a time, Barack Obama promised the people here in the state of Wisconsin, the uprising was happening in reaction to Scott Walker's attack on public sector unions. And eventually got around to sticking it to the private sector unions. But Obama said he was going to come and march with us, stand with us, and he did not, sir. And I think a lot of locals have never forgotten, Rick.
No, look here, I'm in Georgia to talk to union members to get them out to vote for Raphael Warnock in this runoff election. All day today, all I have heard is that they feel that they've been let down. That, you know, Joe Biden, again, honestly, still the most pro-union president of my lifetime, but this was a mistake. Look, as I said, they were never going to strike. They were never going to be allowed to strike because these railroads have gotten so big. They are so powerful that shutting them down would be catastrophic for the economy. So I think the conversation we should be having is twofold. One, the strike situation isn't the employees. It's the railroads' fault. It's these extraordinarily profitable railroads. Last year, pocketing $23 billion. This year, putting in their pockets in the first three quarters of this year, $22.1 billion with a B. All these workers were asking for were four measly sick days. It would have cost $180 million. A mere fraction of their billions. And you're going to tell me that these railroads can't afford this? No, it's not that they can't afford, is they refuse to, because this is about power, this is about control, and this is about the railroads flipping off their workers and flipping off our government, knowing that our government was going to bow to them because they have such enormous power. The call from this moment forward, Mike, should be, how do we break these railroads up and put competition back into the railroading industry?
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Rick Smith joining us. Rick, you know, when you put it like that, it really makes it even sound worse. Okay, so let's get drilled down. You say there was never going to be a chance for a strike. I mean, isn't that the whole point, Rick? I mean, as a laborer, the most leverage you have is withholding your labor. What is the point of a union if you can't go on strike when the majority of people want to?
But look, Don, their hands are tied by the railroad, the Railway Labor Act. The law is what it is. They were never going to be allowed because Congress was going to step in, and they have in the past. The last time it happened was George H.W. Bush back in 91 did the exact same thing. This was predictable. But again, I come back to the untenable, the unwinnable situation that Biden was in. These railroads have so much power. These rail barons have so much influence and power over our economy. They've been gouging our eyes out. And why aren't we hearing that? We're hearing about these four unions who are saying, no, we want sick days. We want some dignity and respect. We want to be able to see our kids. Why is it all the focus on the union and not on these rail barons who are taking their power and abusing it? Because they know, look, I don't want there to be a strike because I know that hundreds of thousands of workers would have been affected, but I want these guys to get the sick time that they deserve and need. And this could have been a rallying cry. This could have been Biden going out there saying, look, every worker should have the dignity of a paid sick day. Every worker, and we're going to start a movement. We're going to unite both sides so that some nitwit like Marco Rubio can't step in and say, look at me, I'm pro-worker because I'm going to attack the Biden administration and the unions. This is a moment. This could have been a moment that pulled us together.
Well, Bernie Sanders voted nay on this along with Marco Rubio, so strange bedfellows. Warren Buffett apparently bought BNSF back in 2009 for $34 billion. You're going to tell me that, what, these paid sick leave days would cost the industry $180 million, and with over the 20-some billion already this year, they can't find that in the couch cushions, and the Democrats can't, you know, push us along, if nothing else, for political reasons? You want to be a friend of labor? Let this thing play out. If you know you're never going to allow them to strike anyway, then let it. Why step in now? Why not let it run its course for at least another week?
And the thing is, you know, you brought up Buffett. One day last week, his wealth went up enough to provide 15 sick days to all of those workers for 2 years. Just one day of his profit increases. That's how paltry their request was. They are not being unreasonable. And look, this is a winning message. Democrats could have picked this mantle up and made this a winning message to make workers' lives better. And they chose to take the route that was the simplest, that was the easiest, and performative. They did what we knew they were going to do. They weren't going to allow them to strike. And then they did this, oh, hey, we're going to have this other bill, knowing that there's no way in hell the Senate's going to vote for that. And we got exactly what we expected.
And Rick, you're in Georgia. Rick Smith, the host of the Rick Smith Show, again, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Civic Media Network. But Rick, you're in Georgia. You follow the circus like Dom and I sometimes do. And the timing of this exacerbates the problem because we are in the midst of a runoff election for the 51st seat of the U.S. Senate. And if Warnock loses, which seems unbelievable, but it's close, it's relatively close. But if
the message that I've been bringing out in this is, and people have been bringing this up to me, I go, the reality is Raphael Warnock is the 51st vote in the Senate, and he would have voted for those workers. He would have voted for those sick days. Herschel Walker, I'm not sure how Herschel Walker would have voted. I'm sure Mitch McConnell would have told him how to vote, which is against the workers. So for me, this is a very simple situation. You got Reverend Warnock who would support the workers and Herschel Walker who wouldn't. But again, I keep coming back to the Democrats. There was an opportunity to play this game right. To play this chess game right, to make sure that they were able to, while they're talking the talk, walk the walk. They could have, I don't know, put that into one bill, say, yeah, we're going to make them not strike, but we're going to put those four sick days in there that they requested. We're going to make sure that they get what they need, Mike, and make Republicans vote that down. And then look, if it falls where it falls the day after, and then next week, you go, hey, look, we gave you the chance to vote to make sure that these folks have sick days. We didn't have two bills. We have one. And that's where my frustration lies. They could have had just one bill.
Rick Smith, just to clarify the position of Herschel Walker, I'm pretty sure he's pro-vampire. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got Rick Smith from the Rick Smith Show. Got to lighten it up for just a moment, Rick. I understand you're feeling it, man. And I am feeling it. Dom's feeling it. I bet a lot of the actual hardworking people similar to yourself. You're a Teamster. You're a truck driver by trade, right, Rick?
Yes.
And similar in nature to the nature of the rail workers. Am I right, or do you not see it as analogous?
No, look, I spend a lot of time driving. I drive a truck into the rail yards. That's what my job is. I go back and forth to the rail yards. And I know these guys. I know the struggles. I know their situations. I know the hours that they have to work. I know the fact that they've cut staff enormously. Thousands of workers have lost their jobs over the last several years. I know that these railroad companies with their precision scheduling railroading have been gouging the eyes of consumers out. I know that they've been lining their pockets. I hear these stories. I hear these people, their struggles, and they're angry. And look, I keep coming back. Democrats, you need to get out of D.C. You need to get Obama's comfortable shoes on, and you need to start walking a mile in these folks' shoes. It's easy to say, oh, just take one for the team. They've been taking one for the team for the last several years, and there's real anger out there. And look, I'm calling for a wildcat strike. If it's me, I'm walking out the door. I'm not showing up on the 9th. I am not doing it.
Rick Smith, how long are you going to be in Georgia? What does your show schedule look like, and what can people expect to hear?
We're here in Georgia through the election. We're broadcasting every night right here on all the civic media stations from 8 to 10 p.m. And, you know, look, what we've been talking about, what I came down here to talk about was the runoff. You know, I wanted to get people stories, but this railroad thing has just, you know, consumed me at this moment, because this was a moment. This was a chance for Joe Biden to solidify that most pro-union president. And I'm struggling with it right now. Now, look, I've had insiders tell me, no, Rick, calm down, cool your jets a bit. The president's got a plan. We'll see. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt in this moment, but I'm still angry at the fact that there were two bills, not one. And they went through as expected. And here we are.
Rick Smith, Dominic and I dragged him to a Trump rally, not the first one I've dragged him to, probably we're getting close to a dozen, I think. But we went to a Trump rally here in the state of Wisconsin before the primary in August. Trump came on behalf of Tim Michaels. The labor, I'm sorry, Rick, I've kind of lost my thought for a moment, but we met people there, and I asked the guy, and he's like, labor, Republicans. And I'm like, how does that make sense? There's no sense to it. But apparently labor is falling in the Trump camp. The working man is falling in the MAGA camp. And I found it distressing that, you know, this former Democratic laborer, this union guy, waiting in line, front row guy, is telling me, no, man, I'm Trump or bust. If there's a question, it's sort of a statement, but man, Republicans are owning the working class at this point.
No, the reality is Biden left an opening for Marco Rubio to step in and say that he's pro-worker. And the reality is he's never supported a piece of legislation that was pro-worker. He just hasn't. He voted against the bill, but did he vote for the one that gave the sick days? Did he propose legislation to ensure people get sick days? Did he propose any legislation to make workers' lives better? No. He simply took an opportunity to attack the president and attack unions. This isn't being pro-worker. Now, I would applaud Marco Rubio if he came forward and said, you know what? We're going to make sure every worker gets sick time. This is where the message needs to turn around. Every worker should have the dignity and respect of when they're sick, being able to stay home. When their kids get sick, they can make a doctor appointment down the road. They can have some time. The reality is unions fought for a weekend. These folks don't have one. They can't make a dental appointment 6 months into the future. This is a winning message for Democrats, and they dropped the ball on it.
Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, unfortunately recently reelected, Rick, came out today and said this was the wrong action. I found myself weirdly disagreeing or agreeing with Ron Johnson in this case. But what he said is he thought effectively the president should have forced them into a cooling off period. Rick, that seemingly still would have.
They were in a cooling off period, Mike. I mean, that was what the president did over the summer. He signed the executive order creating the presidential emergency board.
More cooling
which
off
brought
is
us
that
to this point. This is the cooling off period.
So this action today was unwarranted. relative to the fact that, I mean, would it have precipitated into a strike in the short run, Rick?
Look, if there's no congressional action, potentially. I mean, the reality is, and this is where the frustrating part is, the rail barons were very clear. They were not going to give anything at all. They were okay with crashing our economy. They were okay with taking the power that we've given them by allowing them to consolidate from 40 railroads down to 7 over the last 2 decades. We've given them the enormous power to crash our economy. And this is where I keep coming back to. We need to talk about having something so powerful. We've got a nuclear
bomb. Rick, hold tight, man. You got a few
feet.
More minutes for us? That's, can you stick around?
Absolutely.
More Rick Smith, more Devil's Advocates. Come back with us.
He says we're going the wrong way.
That is correct.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal Rick Smith, host of the Rick Smith Show, sticking around for one more segment. Rick, always appreciate talking to you, man. Because you're a labor guy, man, and you have the stuff dialed on. I always learn something when we hang out, when we speak. The railroad industry, as you said, is what, gone from 40 different rails consolidated down to 7? Is that accurate? With one of them being owned by
the numbers
Warren
that
Buffett.
I've seen, yeah.
What's the long game here? I mean, obviously, this is untenable. We all have a problem with this. How do we as consumers, how do we as citizens of a democratic government react to this and push back on this? What are your thoughts there?
Well, I mean, you know, I would have been okay if Congress and Nancy Pelosi would have come forth with one piece of legislation, said, look, yeah, we're not going to let them strike, but we're going to get them the sick days that they need because it's the right thing to do. I would have been perfectly okay with that. In fact, what I was hoping that they would do, they didn't. They went the performative route. They went the route that said, you're not going to be able to strike. And oh, by the way, we'll try over here, knowing that that bill was never going to pass. In playing the chess game, I make the Republicans say, nope, you know, we're not the party of working people. We're going to vote against these sick days. Because, you know, here's the thing. These workers don't want to go on strike. None of them want to go on strike. Nobody ever wants to go on strike. I've been on strike in my lifetime. There's no fun in this. There's no good in losing wages. There's no good in causing disruption. There's no good that comes from it. But sometimes you're pushed to the brink where it's the last arrow in the quiver. It's the last thing that management's going to listen to. And what the people have been telling me is the railroads don't care because the railroads, they don't care if they strike or not because they can cause catastrophe. But they're going to make nothing but money on the other side because they're going to be able to gouge us. You want to know why inflation's so high? Think of shipping costs. Think of transportation costs, how crazy they've gone. And then look at the profits that these railroads have put in their pocket. $23 billion pure profit in their pocket. And they're telling these workers, sorry, you can't have a day off. It's insane. It is literally insane. And it's a winning message to go out and talk to other working people about, hey, we need to take on corporate America and this insane greed. It's that simple to me.
Rick, the rails, I mean, obviously very important. Otherwise, Congress would not have gotten involved. Otherwise, Democrats would not have gone against labor in this regard. National security issue, perhaps, should the rails be nationalized, if this is how it's going to be, if it's so important, then should the government get more involved, in your opinion, sir?
No, absolutely. I said from the beginning, that's what should happen. I mean, it's what Truman did back in the 40s. I think it's what should have happened. The threat of nationalizing, I think, would have sent the CEOs, would have sent the rail barons back to the table and actually negotiated in good faith, because there'd be a consequence. Right now, because of the RLA, there's no consequence for the rail barons if they refuse to negotiate, if they refuse to give in on what are very reasonable demands. The fact that these engineers want to have a sick day to where if they get sick, if they get COVID, they're not going to get fired from their job. This is the problem that we're in. And look, they've got paid time off, but that paid time off is always denied because, hey, we've got to have someone to cover your run. If we don't have it, you got to come in.
Rick Smith of the Rick Smith Show. You can hear him right here on the Civic Media app all across the network, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. Rick, we enjoyed your company this summer. You came to Wisconsin, touched different parts of the state. Right here in the Madison area, the UW nurses have been trying to organize their labor. but due in large part to Scott Walker and the Republican agenda, they don't apparently have the right to unionize. So initially, my understanding is UW Hospital was recognizing, and I'm only going on what one of our friendly rebellious nursing friends have told me on the last couple of days, but effectively now the hospital is saying, well, you know, rules are, we don't have to recognize you, so we won't, and we don't. Rick, they effectively, labor's being thrown under the bus here by the existing rules, but if the nurses can't come together and say, we want to negotiate, well, how can you force their labor? I mean, effectively, do they all have to leave the UW system and go find private nursing work? You know, you don't have the right to negotiate?
This is where I keep coming back to. I know I'm in the very, very small minority here and probably going to get into a lot of trouble for it. But at the end of the day, workers have one final arrow in their quiver, and that's the ability to fold their arms and march their feet. And I know there are some railroaders out there who are ready to go on a wildcat strike. And maybe that's what we have to come to. This country was, during the 20s and 30s, was being torn apart by workers who were demanding rights. The National Labor Relations Act was a peace treaty between workers and corporations because workers had had enough. Maybe we're at that moment again. Maybe we're in a moment where the law has gotten so outdated, so antiquated, so ossificated that it's useless at this point. That maybe we need to have comprehensive major labor law reform, something possibly like the PRO Act, which, again, bringing me back here to Georgia, is why I want Raphael Warnock to be reelected and to be put into this seat so that we can get one vote closer to the PRO Act and giving workers the ability to fight for better wages, hours, conditions, by undoing all of the horrible that's been done by Republicans and conservative Democrats over the decades. But to answer your question, this is what should be drawing us together. This should be, everybody should have this right. You shouldn't give the tool that management has gotten to tell workers, yeah, maybe, no. This is where we have to vote for pro-worker candidates and hold them accountable, which is why I'm so angry with Joe Biden today.
Rick, we're going to run out of time here, man. I certainly appreciate you coming around once again. Wildcat striking. So if this goes down, I mean, what would be the effect of how many strikers would there need to be, in your opinion, given the industry? I mean, there's, you know, over 100,000 laborers in rail. How many people would need to go on a strike to make an impact?
Ultimately, the people who are affected by this, the ones that they say are just the minority, the ones who don't have sick days, those folks who are running the rails, who are the ones who are the engineers. You got a bunch of them to go out on strike. The rest of them are useless. What are you going to do? There's no trains moving around. To me, no, it's not going to happen. I doubt it's going to happen. I think you'll have some because the penalties and the fines and the draconian penalties for the unions would be just catastrophic for them because of how bad the law is on this front. But I think, you know, at some point you may see a sick out. You may see people who are just have had enough and don't care if they get fired. I think you may see some of that.
Rick, how's the early voting seem to you?
Big numbers. I mean, there are just a drop in the drop box, 2 hour long waits in some places. But for me, the interesting part is going to be looking back at how SB 202 is working for Republicans when they pass this horrible law that says we're going to limit the number of drop boxes. We're going to shorten the runoff period from 60 days to 28. All of the things that they did to steal this election, this runoff election before it was even started. We'll see if their dirty tricks work.
Don't forget, Herschel Walker is pro vampire. Rick
and from
Smith.
Texas.
We're pro Rick Smith here. He plays out 8 to 10 p.m. each weeknight on Civic Media. Thank you, Rick. Come back, Hour 2, Devil's Advocates, with Charles Franklin, a pollster extraordinaire.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks. More choices to working families.
Hey, that's a joke, son. Don't you get it?
He said that you were being tough on the negotiations.